Imagine if your life was completely turned around. How would you react? And also, would you eventually realize that it's part of what you came here to do? It's easy to say. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to actually do it and step forward. His name is Joshua Brown. He's from Marquette, Michigan. At least that's where he resides now. And he's got a pretty amazing story. And there's an event coming up that's going to help Joshua, because Joshua believes he was paralyzed. How long ago was it, Josh?
That was about almost 7 years ago.
And he believes he's going to walk again. And he believes he's going to help others. And I think he will. And there's a project called Walk the Earth. And we're going to tell you about that and more. First of all, I'd like to welcome him to our studio today. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing very good.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. You're a friend of Jen's. Jen Howell has been on my show before, the astrologer. She's been on, right?
Yes.
And I've had a lot of fun with her. And so, actually, you're more than a friend, aren't you? You're kind of like, do I use the term twin flame? Is that something that rings?
That would cover it, yes.
So you're both well aware of that. And yes. What is your definition of a twin flame?
In this sense, it feels like we're one and the same person. Okay. In a lot of ways. It's different sides of the same coin, I guess.
Okay. And so, you know, and the definition I understand is that we kind of split when we become physical beings.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that originally you're from the same source and you split and become two separate...
One male, one female.
Yeah.
Genders. Sometimes it might be reversed, whatever.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same as soul mates in the sense, in the romantic sense.
Right. Twin flame's pretty intense, isn't it?
What's that?
It's pretty intense, twin flame?
Yeah, it is. It can be at times. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it's a lot of fun and it's easy, and other times it's very intense. When we're put together, it's like always a learning experience. Mm-hmm. It's always a growing experience.
A chance to clear things as well, I'm guessing, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe also work together in some way to do something. You know, they say a lot of twin flames are coming together now to make a huge difference in the world.
Yeah, it's been a very symbiotic, beneficial collaboration.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't mean to go down that route, but I'm glad you shared that with me. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Joshua. Where were you born?
I was born in Hillsdale, Michigan, actually, down south of Jackson, southern Michigan.
And was it kind of a small rural area?
Yeah. Hillsdale is in Hillsdale County. There's Hillsdale College. It's got a hill, fairgrounds. It's a small town. I didn't actually grow up in the town. I was just born in the
so
town.
So you're kind of a country boy?
Yeah. Basically, yes.
And a guy that really gets into nature, right?
Yes, yes.
And which we'll get to more of that. So at some point in your life, you had this accident 7 years ago, but what led up to that? What happened? What are the things you experienced growing up and the things going through your life?
Besides being a
relative of Elvis, I found out he's related. to Elvis, and who else was it? There were several other.
Well, on my mom's side, it would be Elvis Presley, and then President Andrew Johnson. On my dad's side, it would have been a professor at University of Ann Arbor, I believe it was.
And you have Cherokee in you as well.
Yes, on my mom's side.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing you explored some of that as well.
Yeah, I had a heavy interest in Native spirituality in my teen years and in early 20s.
What did you learn from that?
It deepened my connection to the earth. It helped me understand my place in the universe and the world. And it also helped me understand cultural dynamics and how we relate to each other as humans.
Amazing. You've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And you're well spoken. So you were growing up, pretty normal childhood, brothers, sisters, that kind of thing?
I have 13 siblings.
Oh, that's right. You told me.
Yes, I'm the third oldest of 14 children, 9 boys and 5 girls.
What was that like with all those brothers and sisters?
Never a dull moment, I guess.
Did you get along with them?
Yes, for the most part, I got along with them. There was a few hiccups here and there, but nothing too intense.
So at some point you left home, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I actually left home a little late compared to some of my siblings. I left home at about 20 or 21, and right around the time my parents were going through a divorce.
So tell me about what happened up to the point of your accident. What was going on around that time period?
You mean closer to the time of the accident? Or,
yeah, okay. Just prior to it, okay. Or even if you want to lead into that.
Let's see. I can go back about a year probably before the accident happened. After I left home, I had traveled around the states. I was just looking for something, trying to find a purpose, a direction. I had this drive or this need to know where I fit in the world and what I was supposed to be doing. I felt like I had some kind of bigger work to do, and I knew that I hadn't fulfilled much of that yet. I ended up going to Texas for a while and working at an outdoor school. I'd had a significant experience living out in the woods and learning like ancient native living skills, primitive skills, outdoor living skills, modern survival skills, and I really liked that kind of stuff. So I spent a lot of time in nature. So I went to this outdoor school in Texas, and I made friends with some cool people in West Texas, and I spent time in the Pecos River area and the canyons and stuff. And then I traveled around different other parts of the West. I worked in Montana for a while and adventured into the wilderness in Idaho, and just kind of traveling around. And in the year, what year was that? 2009. I had been working in northern Wisconsin seasonally on a cranberry farm, and that winter after the cranberry harvest, I went with one of my brothers down to southern Alabama and planted trees for 6 weeks. And every place I had been going up until the point of the accident, I always felt adrift, like it wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And I had gone on a road trip after the tree planting event around the midwinter of 2009-10, and I'd gotten to after coming back, I came back to Michigan in the spring, and I had this I had kind of felt a little, my health had started to decline just slightly during the winter.
How old were you then?
How old was I? I was 25, or close to 25, 24.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I after all the traveling during that winter, I needed to kind of sit down for a minute and kind of figure out what was going on with me. So I went to a place, a friend's place in the woods near Baldwin, Michigan, in the Manistee National Forest, and they had a nice place out in the woods and a sauna. And so I spent time there doing an herbal cleanse and drinking fresh vegetable and fruit juices and just eating cleaner, because I had been eating a lot of Subway and other things that whole winter and feeling backed up. So I did this 30-day cleanse and kind of cleared me out, and I kind of connected with the earth a little more and spent more time in the woods and was looking for clarity on where to go next. And I'd put the intention out to the universe and I had asked a question. I want to do something that I've never done before that I'm not comfortable with.
Okay, if you could repeat that again.
Oh, okay.
Just that part, because I think this is a very important part of the story.
But yes.
What you said what to the universe?
Well, I had put this question out. I said I would like to do something that I have never done before that I'm not comfortable with. And for some reason, I felt like I needed some kind of challenge or something different to do, because I wasn't satisfied with what I was doing. And shortly after that, I was headed back to northern Wisconsin to see my brother on the cranberry farm where I used to work. A friend of mine, whom I had spent some time with in Big Rapids, named Anna, she was a beekeeper, or a part-time beekeeper anyway, and she had given me a jar of honey. And her middle name was Bee, and like the bee. And the morning I had left Big Rapids on the way back to Wisconsin, I had this really strong intuition that I should go back to my friend's place in Baldwin, and I should rest for a day. But I ignored that feeling. I felt really compelled to get up across the Mackinac Bridge and get over into Wisconsin. And Anna had given me a jar of honey on my way up, and it was a pint jar, and I put it on the seat. And I got up as far as Petoskey, and I noticed I was having brake issues, but I ignored them. And I had a Toyota mini pickup. It was an 87 mini pickup. And
when you say brake issues, they weren't responding as well? Oh,
they weren't responding as well. They're kind of shuddery. They were kind of okay. Scrapey.
So you could see like the pads or the rotors were kind of...
Yeah, yeah. And when you put the brake on, it was kind of shuddery and like slowed down in a funky way.
I know it would pull
to one side.
I know that
feeling. It was an old truck. It had a lot of repairs done on it, but not enough. I got across the bridge and I was headed through... on Highway 70 through Florence, Wisconsin. That was around 2 p.m. on May 15th, 2010. And I had gotten just past Florence, and another thing I forgot to mention was that I had long hair at the time. It was down past my shoulders. And I was going about 55 miles an hour. It was a warm, muggy day. It felt kind of dreamlike. And a grasshopper came through my driver's side window and just kind of smacked my ear like a pellet gun. Felt like a pellet gun. And that kind of threw me a little bit, but I was still driving, and then I hear this buzzing and I feel this funny feeling in my hair, and I realize there's a bumblebee on top of my head. Yeah. So I start smacking at the bumblebee, and instead of pulling over like I should have, I kind of sort of panicked just a little bit. You know, I knocked the bee off my hair and down to the seat, and I'm looking down at the seat, looking at the bee, trying to brush it off the seat. And I look up and I'm going off the road, and I overcorrected my wheel and I went into a roll, and probably 4 or 5 revolutions. And I saw a culvert go by, and I don't know if I blacked out during the roll. I came to a stop in a ditch upside down. I was looking out through this crack, and I tried to move, and I could just barely move my arms. And for a second there, you know, it was kind of adrenaline, panicky, like, God help me. And then I just hollered for help, and a guy showed up not too long after. I could see out through this crack, this woman standing up by the road on the phone, and this guy walks down the hill, and he's like, how are you? Are you alive? And I said, yeah, can you pull me out? And he says, hang on, the paramedics will be here soon. I didn't realize that I was completely trapped in there, that the cab was crushed.
Don't you have pictures of that on your Facebook?
There are pictures of my wrecked truck on
Facebook.
I
saw that.
Yes.
I thought, how did you live?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we know that. Well, we know that there's more going on.
Yeah.
It's like... angelic or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a part of me that was like just knew that everything was going to be fine. I knew that it wasn't time for me to die. I was just looking out through this crack, and finally the paramedics had I had had a long conversation with this guy that I don't remember most of the words. I just kept myself talking. And they came and they had to cut me out with the jaws of life. And this was the Long Lake Tipler paramedics. And they transferred me onto a stretcher. And right before I passed out in the ambulance, I was able to give them my brother's phone number. And I asked them to take me to Marquette.
Now, when you were... And I don't mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you were going, when you were taken out of the truck, did you know at that point that you did not have any feeling in a good part of your body?
Yeah, I felt numb and tingly all over. Okay. Yeah, and I didn't really register to me completely at the moment that I could possibly be paralyzed for a long time. Yeah, I just knew I couldn't move, but I didn't really think very hard about it. I was very much in that moment.
Yeah, maybe a little shock.
Yeah.
As you look back at that story and realize the bumblebee, does it drive you bananas thinking, you know, I could have avoided all this?
There are moments when it has, but most of the time, I feel most of the time, I don't know. I guess I don't have a huge amount of regret at this point in my life with it. It felt like this necessary catalyst for growth and change that a friend of mine, a counselor friend of mine, it's funny, John Magnuson in Marquette, I had a conversation with him about it. He said, that bee was a Zen master coming to give you a message.
I know you told me that. And you had asked for this change.
I did. And it wasn't what I had in mind. But
it never is it?
No.
It's always something. Be careful what you really want. Be very precise.
Yeah.
Or the universe is going to go, now we got his order. I think he means this. Okay, let's give it to him. Do you believe that this is something that was predestined before you came here, or is it something that happened by you asking for this to come forward?
I think more by me asking. There are, Jen would say probably that it was somewhat predestined as well. That would be, I don't know, actually. I don't know the entire answer to that. I could say it's both.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if I could actually believe that it was predestined.
Well, which one of us are going to say, you know what, when I get down there, but you see that all the time. I think people do.
Do think there's something to that. I do think that it's possible that we actually like choose what our life path is going to look like. You know, I think there's definitely some possibility for directions you could go.
You believe, when did, first of all, did you kind of take this attitude that you have now that you're sharing with me? Was this something you've had for a long time?
Probably at least for a couple of years now.
So when you first had that accident, were you still wrapped up in older beliefs or beliefs?
Absolutely.
And so it must have been very difficult.
Yeah, I was very wrapped up in past. I was clinging to a lot of old ideals. A lot of a big part of it was when this happens, you're thrown into a whole new process that you have to go through. You know, you have to rethink everything. You know, it's like, all right, I have all these plans, I had all these ideas and aspirations and things about how I want to live my life. And then for a while, there's this like, all right, I really want to get back to that as fast as possible. And you start to realize that the way that life flows, I don't know how to describe that right now.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing that you can talk about this so calmly, even with a smile on his face. And you know, I know we all deal with what we have, and you know, but I think your understanding of things from a deeper perspective, I guess that's my question. Does that really help you see things and not be a person that's going, oh, woe is me, or how am I going to move forward?
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of people who this can happen to will have a lot of anger and place a lot of external blame on the world or God or whatever. And I like the idea of taking personal responsibility for your actions, your choices, yeah.
Understanding that, and again, having a perspective, whereas you see us as beings that are creators and choosing our circumstances.
Yes.
As opposed to, but some might say, well, God lined this up for you. Well, why did he do that? Well, he'll let you know and when you get to the next place. And to me, that would be very uncomfortable. It would be hard for me to face something like that. It's a lot easier for me to accept passing, death, when I understand what I think is the bigger picture of all of it, that we are the ones that choose everything that comes. And it then, like you say, it makes us take responsibility.
Yeah, I think there's a balance to it as well. I really like some of the Buddhist ideas or the Zen ideas of accepting what is and allowing what is to be what it is, rather than needing to force, control, manipulate, and suffer because you're forcing or trying to control something so tightly and that you can't just let go and enjoy life in the moment. So it's a balance, you know. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to somewhat direct that our life flow. We have this ability to ask and to draw in what we want, and at the same time, that just being with what is part of that process to me. It's like when you are living in the flow of the universe and nature around you, you're allowing things to be what they are and you're okay with it. Things tend to flow to you as you like them anyhow. And it may not always be exactly what you imagine or dream about, but it still comes. And I found that everything I need has always been provided for me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I want as well. So,
right. I just think it's cool that you have this mindset after going through that. And you really didn't adopt this probably till the last couple of years, you said, right?
Yeah.
That way, mm-hmm, of thinking. So prior to that, your way of thinking must have been all over the place, I'm guessing.
I was still learning and discovering. I had a core sense early on, I knew that I could draw in and somewhat create my own reality. Mm. It was sort of a long, slow, step-by-step realization, waking up in a way, you could call it.
So you've always been aware, you would
say.
Yeah,
always been aware on some level, even right, at a young age, and it just kind of opened and expanded over time.
Expanded that. And so really, you know, this, I don't know, I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but this could almost in a way be one of the best things that happened to you.
Yes, I think it was a catalyst for a very accelerated growth process that I wouldn't have learned what I've learned, experienced what I've experienced as quickly without it. Even though, you know, I lost physical function and some of my physical freedom, I gained so much more in other aspects of my life.
Tell me what this Project Walk is about.
Yeah. So Project Walk is therapy, physical therapy recovery facility for people with spinal cord injuries and some other injuries, head injuries or I think like Lou Gehrig's or some of the other degenerative nerve issues. But they were started, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or somewhere in that area. It's based on the idea that repetitive physical exercise of a particular type will help the body to regenerate nerve connections after some kind of spinal cord injury or other type of nerve damage. So, and this has been proven through a number of case studies and a lot of people who have done this. One of my favorite people, who was kind of a pioneer in this area, his name is Patrick Rummerfield. He's a race car driver. He was from Idaho, and he had a car accident in the 1970s. And he started the Kennedy Krieger Institute in, I think it's Baltimore, Maryland. Is that Maryland? And
yep, that's Maryland.
He wrote a book called Green Bananas, and it talks about his life story. And he was in a car accident where his friend was driving drunk, and they'd hit the freeway at much too high speeds, and he'd gotten thrown out of the his friend had gotten thrown out of the car, and his friend had walked away from it, but he had broken his neck and become quadriplegic from the neck down, and they weren't sure if he was going to live. But within a year to 2 years, through intensive physical therapy and his father helping him every day, he eventually gained the ability to walk. And within a few years, he had run a marathon, and he had and he continued going like that. And that was an inspiring story for me.
Oh, yeah.
And there are many other stories that have not been in books. You don't see, like... I'm sure there are more that I haven't even discovered yet, but if you go to Project Walk's website, projectwalk.com, you'll find some testimonies on there. You will find people who... There was a woman who had been in a chair for 9 years, similar injury to mine, and she is up and walking around and running now after a couple, I think a year to 2 years of therapy.
Wow.
And it's not the easiest from what I hear. It's kind of hard work.
And there's only one place to go for this?
There are others. There are others. I've just done a lot of research, and this is one that I happen to like the most at the moment.
And that's the one out in California, right?
Yes, it's located in Carlsbad.
You didn't want to take the one up at the North Pole because they have one up there? it's lovely this time.
Living in the Upper Peninsula is difficult in a wheelchair, especially in the wintertime. You know, I was a very outdoor guy. I used to run marathons. I used to like to hike all over the hills and snowshoe everywhere. And as much as I love the wild and I love being here... there's facilities that I need that are elsewhere in warmer places as well. And right now, warm, sunshiny places really appeal to me in the wintertime, especially, even though we're coming to the end of winter. But
yeah. So this is an amazing place. And you're saying the people that go there, many of them wind up walking out the door eventually.
Yes, they do.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you'd think you'd hear about that more.
Yeah, sometimes you'll find little stories on mainstream news like CNN or something else like that. I've seen little bits on BBC. A lot of what I see now, though, is like research on electronic implants that they use to bridge the gap in the spine. It's like a stimulation device. Also, exoskeleton devices. Stem cell research, those kinds of things. And those are coming along, and I have looked into those as well. I just really like this very physical approach.
Well, and this is a very natural approach, mm-hmm. too. So
yeah, I'd like to have a less invasive process for now, you know.
You don't
I'm not saying
grow
I wouldn't try stem cells.
You don't
want to
grow a second head, do you, on your shoulder?
No, no.
You could have somebody to talk to all the time. Hey, how's it going, Josh? Little Josh. Wow, that's pretty cool. So they're having a fundraiser, and it's going to be... Isn't it funny? Did you deliberately pick the date on that?
Actually, it kind of accidentally fell on that date.
Another accident.
I'd gotten three choices from the Ordoc Brewing Company through a friend of mine who had been in contact with them, and she's like, well, let's try these dates, these dates, these dates, and we'd had a group message on Facebook with a bunch of the musicians and the... people I had asked to help me with coordinating and volunteering, and everybody seemed to agree that the 15th worked best for them. And then I realized, oh, that falls on the exact like date of the accident. So that was interesting.
That is, I think, more than a coincidence.
Yeah.
So 6 to 9 at the Ordoc Brewing Company at Marquette, you'll be able to help out. As Josh was going to try to raise, how much money are you trying to?
Ideally, it'd be the cost for a year of therapy would approach around $38,000.
And you feel you're going to have to go through a couple of years of this, probably, right?
Ideally, yeah, it feels like at least 2 years. But if I can pull off at least 1 year, I'd be so happy.
Well, it's certainly worth giving to. I think it's an awesome thing. They're going to have music. They're going to have food. There's a silent auction. You can make donations. There's a phone number if you want to call. It's 616-246-9532. We'll post all this on the website, so you'll be able to see that as well. We'll also post projectwalk.com. It's amazing how far we've come. And really, in a way, it's probably something that maybe has been around for a long time, these kind of treatment. I've always believed that even when we were more so-called primitive, we had a greater knowledge of how to heal ourselves. And we've kind of lost some of that.
I would agree with that.
And so things like this that are natural ways to reconnect, because the body really does reinvent itself every 7 years, they say.
Yes, I do believe in the body's ability to regenerate. Absolutely.
So what are your goals on this? I know you obviously want to walk, but you want to do so much more, don't you, on that, Joshua?
Well, part of it feels like it's so natural to fall into the flow of this. I've experimented with so many things to improve my state of being while in a wheelchair. Being a C5, C6 quadriplegic, which means like the fifth and sixth vertebrae were fractured, and I had crushed part of my spinal cord. There are a lot of complications that come with this type of injury. You know, your blood pressure levels change, you have muscle spasticity, you have neuropathic pain, you have inflammation, you have your bowels slow down, there's edema, there's a number of other things, and everybody's different, but depends on your health and your constitution beforehand as well. And I was able to experiment and learn a lot, do a lot of research with diet and herbs and those kinds of things, and that helped me to reduce a lot of the problems that I had in the beginning. I was able to reduce pain down to very little and become a much more functional person, even in a wheelchair, pretty independent. I kind of lost your original question.
I was asking about the goals, because you and I talked, obviously, before we did this interview for quite a length, and you told me part of it, too, is that you really see yourself maybe healing others, not just with spinal issues, but a healer in general.
Absolutely. This whole journey, I believe, largely is for me to learn how to become a healer. And it's kind of a natural thing for me to fall into. I tend to fall into counseling roles. I tend to fall into advisory stuff around health and wellness. And I do feel like everything I'm learning now and everything that I will learn in the next few years, and the progress I'm developing with my own body, I plan to carry that over into a practice at some point. I want to write a book about my experiences and help other people with spinal cord injuries as well as many other health issues, taking a more holistic, naturopathic approach.
I think that's awesome. And you also have a lot of knowledge about some of the herbs and that are beneficial to us. Can you just run down a little bit of that? Because I think people, you know, that's one thing we lack is in our society, we don't know. We could walk out in the woods and we could help ourselves a lot. Just even up here, are there certain things that come to mind that people could find right in nature?
Absolutely. People have said, I have heard it said, and it's possible some native elders have echoed this, is that everything we need for healing is growing around us. It seems like the plants we need for healing are attracted to us. If you walk around most any town in America, at least on the East Coast and in Midwest, you will see dandelion everywhere. You will see various different other greens that a lot of people aren't aware that you can even eat, that have a very healing effect on the body. And often they're the very herbs that would help the specific health issues that people are dealing with in America today. We have a lot of chronic bowel issues. We have a lot of chronic kidney issues. And dandelion greens, for example, being very bitter, of course, but they are very one of the most powerful healers and cleansers for the kidneys and the liver. And a lot of people today are struggling with kidney health. whether they realize it or not. And
and a lot of people like their yard to look nice, and they get upset when they see dandelions.
Yeah, I would say love the dandelions. Don't start a war with them, because they're here to help you. And people don't realize that they're killing the very things that could turn a lot of their health issues around.
And then on top of that, they're putting those toxins in the ground.
Absolutely.
Which gets into the groundwater, which...
Yeah, I don't understand that. I personally feel like rather than lawns, we ought to have more gardens. Yeah. Herb gardens.
Or just nice, a nice weed lawn.
Yeah.
I love my weed lawn. I mean, I mow it, but that's about it.
I think it's important to cultivate a relationship with nature and make friends with all these wild herbs that we kind of lost touch with. You know, you talk to your grandparents or your great-grandparents, and they'll tell you that when they were young, you know, they used a lot of these remedies. Their grandmother used a lot of these remedies. They would gather these herbs. They would dry them. They would make tinctures of them. They would make salves. And oftentimes out of necessity. They didn't have the modern pharmaceutical system that we have now. And
They did pretty well.
They did.
There was a man, it was a friend of mine. He lives in Garden. His mother used to work at, it was called Mary Grove. I think it was a hospital, a retreat place. His mother worked with a doctor that basically had created a natural salve that would heal skin cancer. And he described it as, you put this salve on the skin cancer and it would draw it out like a spider. He said it looked like a spider, and eventually people would heal from it. And I asked him, well, didn't he pass that forward? And he said, no, apparently not. And I'm thinking, he probably tried, but...
That reminds me of a salve called black salve, actually, and it's not exactly black. It's more of a reddish, dark reddish brown, but one of the ingredients in it is bloodroot, and it's an astringent herb, and it's definitely one that you have to be a little cautious with, but what I've noticed with this particular salve is that particular types of tumors, it will actually draw them out of the skin, ones that are close to the surface, and they will just fall off, and the body will close up the hole.
The body is designed, you would think, if it gets what it needs and we don't pollute it too much, it should be able to recover from everything.
Absolutely. When I first was injured, you know, I was a pretty junk food diet. I mean, I after an injury, sometimes, for me, being a somewhat empathic, more emotionally oriented person at times, food is like your comfort, your go-to, like when you're in high stress times or trying to navigate some difficult stuff. There was a point, though, where I realized, oh, what am I putting in my body, and why am I feeling so bad? You know, I know there are better options out there. So once I started changing my diet to a more fruit and vegetable rich diet, lots of greens, I started to notice a difference in how I was feeling. I was able to improve a lot of health issues that way. And I do think life is chemistry. If you look at biochemistry, our blood is 7.4 approximately is the alkalinity level that your body has to maintain for life. And if your blood oxygen or your blood alkalinity were to drop below that, you would die. Our bodies are generally we are healthier if we have a predominance of alkalinity and a certain percentage of acidity, and we start to run into more health problems when our bodies get a little over acidic. And yeah.
we get sick. Yeah, and I've also heard a connection to acidic and cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. And
part of that also, don't you think, Joshua, I'm sorry, really, so many people have told me, a lot of it has to do with our emotions and our thoughts. That is, I've had people that have recovered from major diseases said it was 90% of it.
Yes, that's a big part of it, perspective, attitude.
Because that's what really creates, I mean, certainly the foods we eat affect us, maybe the things that we're exposed to, but most natural people will say 90% or more of it is caused by our attitudes and our thoughts and emotions. I mean, it's a combination of what we eat as well. But certainly, if you're not balanced as a being, you could eat all the healthiest stuff you want.
Yes.
And I think you could still get very sick.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, a positive outlook, your focus, how you view yourself, how your self-awareness.
Your attitude towards life.
Yeah, yeah. Unpack your baggage. You know, if you have baggage, unpack it. If you can. You know, it's...
You know, I just got a question, and I think it comes from a higher place. Somebody just whispered in my ear. What advice would you give someone who is facing something, maybe not exactly what you have, but just got found out and their world's been turned upside down?
Be open to the possibilities that are out there. Don't close yourself off. Open your heart up to trusting that you will be taken care of, and there will be that you will find what you need to get you to where you want to be, to heal you. A lot of people will try certain things to a point, and they'll be like, well, there's nothing else. I'm just going to withdraw into my dark shell, and I'm going to die. And, you know, we all have different paths. Sometimes it is time to go on, but don't give up hope right away. There are more solutions out there than, for some reason, that line from Shakespeare comes to mind. How does it go?
The world's a stage? No, not that one.
No, it was Horatio. There are more things in the world, Horatio, than you've dreamed of. Something to that effect. More things in heaven and earth.
And then also, I believe, and you and I talked about this, ultimately there will come a day when we will be able to heal ourselves with maybe just our thoughts, we're developing, if we only use a small percentage of our brain, and I use less than that even, I'm just kidding, but if we only use a small percentage of our brain, and this really is a receiver and a transmitter, if we achieve what maybe is called super consciousness, could we become unlimited beings at that point?
I think that is a big possibility. I think that can happen, yeah.
And I think we're kind of moving towards that. We are waking up as, how do you see like the shift that's going on the planet?
It's quite interesting to see the extremes of contrast. You know, you see people continuing old paradigms and all the dark things that are happening, you know, bombings in Syria, etc. And then you see on the other side all this beautiful acts of humanity. And I see so much information out there. I see all these people in my own circles on the internet and out there in the world who are focused on changing it and changing themselves and growing themselves. And there's so much information even in the mainstream now that I see that wasn't there even 10 years ago or more. And something is definitely going on. So, yeah.
We're waking up, aren't we?
We are. Slowly, maybe, hopefully not too slow.
Right. I think it's going pretty quick, actually.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that's happening in just the last even couple of years... Yes. Never happened before, the way we're standing up to the things we didn't like in the election, the politicians, calling them out on both sides. And I see it in the world, people standing up to their government. They don't have weapons, but they're not afraid to do that. So we are the ones that have to make the change, and we have to be willing to speak our voice in some cases, or just know it inside, you know. I think if you decide to go up against a tank, that's probably not the smartest thing. But if you hold the vibration of love, you could be sitting safely somewhere else and project that outwardly. And you can make a difference that way as well. You don't always have to be at the front lines of things. And I give credit to people that do that. But I also say it's really about what we hold inside. Do you feel that at all?
Yes, It's largely about our inner state more than the outer state, I think, to a large degree. And people don't realize that. We're very external. We're very left brain. And it would benefit everyone to go inside more often and explore that inner world.
How do you feel about electronic devices? Are you sensitive to those?
You mean like EMF radiation?
Any kind of, computers, phones, computers, yeah.
I do feel sensitive to phones. And it's interesting with a spinal cord injury where my body from my chest down feels numb, like when your foot is half asleep, and I can feel deep pressure in my muscles. I can feel a certain type of light touch, but it creates a tingle throughout my body. When I put a cell phone on my lap, I can feel, it's like you can feel the vibratory energy of that cell phone. Wow. And if I have it next to my head for too long, it definitely affects me. I can feel it. It's not an easy thing to explain.
Right, I know what you're saying.
But I notice that I sleep much better in areas, like when I go stay at a friend's place in a cabin in the woods where there's not a lot of Wi-Fi, there's not a lot of interference. It's not that just the sound of the area. It's not just that it's quiet, but there's a feeling of quietness. Your body has a different buzz to it when you're in town, and you go out into the really quiet woods, a bit off grid, and everything just feels so calm and so grounded. And so I do really think there's a lot to do with that.
When I was a kid, and this, I think we had this camp probably even into my 20s, but my dad passed away while I was living down in Mississippi. But as a kid, my parents bought a camp with a few other people in 1970-ish, somewhere in there. And this was 5 miles back in the woods. And I'll tell you what, I would get out there and I would feel so good. And even back then, in the 70s, there really wasn't as much, but you had power lines and you had TVs and you still had some of the, now there's so much of it. But I would go out there and just, being so far from all of that, the energy that I don't know, from the trees, from the wilderness, was so powerful for me. It just recharged me in a way that I couldn't get anywhere else, unless maybe I was on a lake out in the middle of nowhere or, you know, somewhere remote. Even in the mountains, I'm sure you could. In the desert, places like that, you could pick that up. But it was such a difference, and I know exactly what you're saying about that feeling of just being removed. These devices that are around us, and I'm not knocking people if they have them. I have a cell phone. I have a big TV at home. But I think they do affect us. And even those meters they put on our house, those different meters, they all can have an effect on our energy level and also our energy field as well. Do you work with your energy field much? Who have you worked with in your recovery?
Yeah, I've worked with a number of therapists, a lot of what we would call alternative therapy healing, as well as normal MDs and stuff like that. But as far as energy work goes, I when I first came back to Marquette, I had a friend who was a Tai Chi teacher, as well as Qigong, which is an ancient form of Chinese medicine healing practice, very much like Tai Chi. And I found it a very relaxing, grounding practice to have. It's a healing intention. It's a prayerful kind of intention. Your focus is on moving the chi energy around your body that your body already has. And when I'm doing these movements, I can feel my hands moving through this auric field that the body has, that the body puts out, that an energetic field. I started with that, and Qigong was just a very healing practice, something for me to focus on, something for me to do every day that felt good and reconnected me to the universe, to Earth, to God, to that which we call God, if you want to put it that way. And
would you suggest certain things if people are looking to, let's say somebody's in a similar situation as you and they're looking for alternative options? What are some of the things you would suggest?
Well, I would definitely, in a very physical place, I would definitely do an evaluation of your diet and at least get to a whole foods diet with a good amount of fruits and vegetables. These foods have an energetic element to them. They carry this electrical life force, and that is transferred to your body when you eat these foods. And as far as other things, I found that acupuncture was a nice pain management modality for me for a while. Learn about herbs and herbal American and Chinese herbal traditions, and look into that, and look around your area for the herbs growing in your neighborhood. If you don't have access to that, of course, you can always look online. There's plenty of Mountain Rose Herbs is a good website for herbs. And let's see. Cranial sacral therapy was a very relaxing, healing therapy for me. It's a very gentle, very slight manipulation of the spinal fluids and the cerebral spinal fluids, getting all that to flow better. Also, I very much had good experiences with high grade therapeutic essential oils. There's a therapy developed by Young Living essential oils called Raindrop Therapy that had some beneficial effects on my spine and helping me to straighten out some scoliosis and clear up some congestion in the spinal column. And I think the more congestion you can move out of your head, neck, and spinal area, and the more you can support your kidney health as a quadriplegic in your bladder, the better off you're going to be. And you'll feel better. You're more. I think it sets you up for the possibility of a better possibility of recovery of function. Those kinds of things. If you're comfortable with some of these other ideas, I would try Reiki and a form called Lahochi. And, let's see, there's plenty of other things, but that's a start.
That's good. That's real good. You know, who knows who's listening, you know, people mm-hmm. from all over the world listen to my podcast mm-hmm. and who knows, what they're going through, but more and more people seem to be returning to alternative options. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's different in every other part of the world. And there's probably many things we still don't even know that are being used in some other part of the world that nobody's brought forward. So I think it's always great when we share what you've experienced.
Yes, I also come from a Christian background, and I do believe also in the power of prayer and faith. If that is, I think it depends on where your mind and heart is. But if that is resonates the most with you, I believe that is just as effective.
Awesome. It's so nice to meet you, Josh. We've talked a little bit over the phone, and I've heard your story for a long time, and I'm glad to see that you're moving forward on this, and I will support you any way I can, and you're more than welcome to come back again, or you don't have to drive down. He drove all the way down here, and you can do it over the phone. I'd love to do more interviews to talk about other things, anything you want to talk about.
Awesome.
Thank you for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me, yes.
Before we take off, I didn't ask, is there anything else you'd like to throw in?
Yeah, if you would like to learn a little bit more about my story, you can check out my Facebook page. It's called Walk the Earth. You just search Walk the Earth in the search bar on Facebook. If you would like to make any monetary donation to my project walk therapy goals, you can check out gofundme.com/walktheearth. And let's see. Yeah, and if you want to learn more about Project Walk, go to projectwalk.com.
And we'll post a lot of that stuff.
Yes.
On there. So
that will be on there. So, yeah.
Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.